Welcome to the Let Me Know podcast, where we let you know everything we know, ranging from games, news, music, and films. If there's ever a topic you want us to talk about, send us an email at letmeknowpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at letmeknowpod. You can listen to our podcast by typing Let Me Know Podcast one word in Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast services. I'm one of the hosts, Will, and with me today is everybody. So let's go around the room. The one, the only, Let Go Control himself, John, say hi.
Hello. We're back. Like the Olympics and the end of sportsmanship. Excellent.
Damn. Already going for the jugular. We also have, to his right, on my Zoom square, not the Grim Reaper, but the Grim Wrecker himself, a.k.a. Mark.
Hello, everybody. Long time no chat.
There's a mare horns.
Yeah. Burr, 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 burr. Hopefully everybody's having a good 2021.
God, we can only hope. Last but not least, rounding out this quartet, the one, the only, Billy Bob, a.k.a. Matt.
What up? We back. What up, God, Matt? It's been like four goddamn months. Jesus. You know what? Life happens. But we're back, which is important.
Yeah. Life happens. Exactly. So we're probably not going to be able to do this podcast on a regular schedule that we'd hope. Pandemic helped us have a regular schedule, and then work happens and some of us get bruises on our arms or we're going through some shit.
I got bit by a spider. Look at this.
That's Jesus. A spider bite?
Yeah. It's like Jesus. Half the size it was. It was like this.
That looks like a burn, like a second degree burn.
What?
Looks like it laid egg in you or something.
Bro, yeah, bring that up to the video right now.
Put
that a little bit closer. I'm sorry for all you audio listeners, but I just want to let you know, John has the size of like a welt. You know what that looks like? Somebody literally took a paintball gun and shot you at close range in your arm, like multiple times.
It looks like a spider marble under there.
Yeah, a spider did that with their butt or their bites.
And you haven't been able to spider crawl up walls yet?
I've tried, but I probably will later.
Okay.
Spiders are the worst. That bite sucks.
Spiders can eat my ass. They suck.
I had one bite my back one time, like years ago when I was younger, and it just felt like I had a consistent itch on that spot until it went down. So
it doesn't hurt, but it really hurts.
Do you guys know on average throughout someone's life you swallow over 30 spiders while you're sleeping?
Yeah, yes, fuck man, those little
we
fuckers.
All know that we swallow spiders.
I haven't yet. Not that I know.
I feel like that fact has been used so much by teachers as to like, oh, isn't this cool? And it's like, yeah, everybody and their mother already knows this fact.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, moving on from spiders. So
I hope I ate this fucking spider that bit me. I hope I chewed that spider so chewy-fully.
The one that bit you and ran?
Yeah, fuck that little fucker. This shit really hurts, man.
Stop touching it, bro.
As he's playing with it, literally, it hurts. Pushes
it hurts
more.
Every time I touch it.
Stop touching it. John's also got a sick farmer's tan.
Oh, you haven't seen it, dude. Look at this shit. God damn.
Wow. The ratio to tan and pale. Very, very much, very aggressive.
This is my Connecticut tan, and this is my I've been shooting all day, every day outside for 12 hours, tan.
Nice. Yeah. Important question. Do you use SPF or you're like, fuck it, bring it?
The first 3 days I was like, I'm cool. I mean, I got the skin. And then the fourth day I was like, give me that shit. I need it all right now. I need to just SPF.
What SPF do you use?
Whatever the producers I had, I don't know. I was just like, give me this.
Probably 30.
I don't know.
I mean, like white people's skin. So I have to use white people sunscreen, which is SPF 100. That's the only way I don't get sunburn.
Wow. Awesome. I got like Asian skin, so I use Asian skin lotion. I mean,
Jesus Christ.
He's the soy sauce.
I use SPF 70. Sometimes if it's 100, but most of the time I try to not.
Dude, every day I would get heat alert on my phone. And I'm just like, are we really supposed to be shooting out here right now? And they're like, it's fine.
What's the temperature been like down there?
Dude, with the heat index, it's been like 103.
Shit. With the humidity too on top of that.
Fuck, I think we've been at like 95 or something at certain days, but I think we've been like in the low 80s, high 70s recently.
High 70s sounds so good right now.
So So other than spiders and sun, I know it's been a while, but why don't we start with our first category, one that I know John always loves, music. Anybody want to share anything musically inclined that they've listened to recently or things that they've enjoyed?
I don't have anything that I've listened to recently. However, this is becoming a segment apparently on this show is the when this concert that I'm supposed to be going is happening. So update.
You should probably stop that segment right now.
So it's going to end after this one because it's happening and it's happening in 2 weeks on August 4th at Citi Field. I'm going and I'm super stoked for that. And for some of our newer listeners who might not know, I will be attending the Hella Mega Tour. This is a concert that has three bands that are going to be pretty much stealing the show. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have like a pre-show, but I don't care about that. It's going to be Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer, August 4th at Citi Field. Super stoked. So now I can finally stop talking about it. You're welcome.
Congrats. My cool. Concert is rescheduled for next year for AJR. But speaking of AJR, just to piggyback off, if any of you have not listened to AJR's latest album, OK Orchestra, it is fantastic. It came out in April, 3 months ago, which obviously we weren't recording. But let me tell you, they have some jamming songs, like jams. And the best part that I love about this is because when pandemic happened, they basically did this whole album throughout the pandemic. So like, it was just great. I love it. There's like a lot of songs with it, Bummerland, So Sad, like all of these songs, Way Less Sad, like that just very much a reminiscent of, I feel like what a lot of people have gone through this past year and a half, 2 years, 5 years. What is time? Time is nothing, apparently. Just saying.
No, you're right. Time sucks.
But you know, it doesn't. OK Orchestra. So y'all should go listen to OK Orchestra. Anyways, that's all I wanted to say about music because I love them. Please listen. Anyways.
Yeah, I agree. I know one song and one part of the lyric, which is, I don't remember now.
That makes sense.
Thanks, Mark.
Classic.
Thanks.
Mark.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It goes like Luck at Me or something, but that was it.
It goes like what?
Like 100 Bad Days. Is that what it is? 100 Bad Days.
Yeah, that was from their previous album,
100 Bad Days. That's like the only song I've listened to, and I liked it. So
that's good.
I'll dig into the AJR probably later on.
This is a really good album. Really good. Not biased whatsoever.
No. Not
John.
Even a little
bit. John, what have you been listening to lately?
I've had no time to listen to any music.
He's been outside getting tan the whole time.
Psych. Come on, son. I've always got music going.
Yeah, it's give it to me.
Really,
give it
so to me. Much music going as you're trying.
Loading.
I have a playlist, but like whenever a new band I like puts music on, it goes immediately into this playlist. So let's go down the line.
Oh, good God!
Blackjacks, a South African band that I've listened to since like 2009, finally dropped a new album after like 12 years, and it's so good. It's unbelievable. It's like way better than I would have ever imagined it would be. M.W. Walker, someone I work with, I listened to his album and his voice sounds really mature and old. And I was like, dude, how fucking old are you? Are you like 35, 36? He's like, no, man, I'm 24. And I'm like, me too. Yeah, I'm so young. I'm cool. I'm a cool kid too. And obviously I'm not. Scale the Summit, which is like a prog rock band that I really enjoy, just released an album. It's a 2-disc album. So one is with 10 different singers that he specifically chose to write music for his stuff. And the other album is just the straight up instrumental version of the album, because they usually do instrumental stuff. But this time he wanted to bring singers in to do that. And for the last 2 months, I've mainly only been listening to this band called Adjay, A-D-J-Y. They released an album and it's like one of the most beautiful albums I've ever listened to in my fucking life. It's almost like on par with the Deer Hunter. And I've been like only listening to them for 2 months specifically because they're amazing. And I'm done.
I just want to ask this question while we're on the topic of music. Are you actually done, John? Or are you just kidding?
I'm done. No fun.
While we're on the topic of music, I did have someone ask us, a listener out there, one that goes by Nick. He asked us, what are our favorite video game soundtracks of all time?
I am so glad you asked that.
Take it away, John.
Also, thanks, Nick. Shout out.
Yes, you, Nick. You're awesome. Thank you for listening and asking a question.
Yeah.
This is so awkward.
John, you sounded like you had a perfect video game in mind for a soundtrack.
No, I want to give you guys a chance to speak before I...
I'm calculating right now, so by all means, go.
All right, so I'll share mine then. The Persona series, specifically Persona 5. I love the Persona music very much, by and large. Every single song has a very distinct tune, not just from kind of your stereotypical like intro opening to the game, right? Like the title song, but every action you do and every sound feels important, unique, and different. I feel like sometimes in video games, it's really hard to try to have a good soundtrack that balances out everything. Because I feel like with some, you kind of have just the typical same sounds over and over that just kind of feel boring. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Yeah, the same like beats, but literally from losing, from fighting, from running away, like story beats. I remember as soon as Persona 5 came out, I think it was maybe later that day, bought the physical CD, loved it. And then I looked up online, what's a CD?
As kids ask your parents about compact discs.
Actually, hold on, rewinds. Isn't it crazy? Cassette tapes, they had side A and side B. And then the next thing after, cassette tapes, CD. So A, B, C, D. Anyways, whatever. I looked up online.
I was 6 years old when I learned that. Thank you.
I looked up later after I bought it. I'm like, this doesn't have all the sounds. And I found the original soundtrack with like 79 to 80 songs. And I was like, I'll buy this as well. And then I started listening to it. I'm like, yep, this is this fight scene. This is this area. So like, it just has, I feel like Persona 5 especially just has very unique sounds that make it stand out compared to other games I've played. You know, but that's just me personally. And then a runner up for soundtrack, I would say, would be more recently Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima soundtrack is very awesome, from the title card to fighting to sneaking throughout it. But I would just say that my favorite all time video game soundtrack would be Persona 5, hands down.
We can only pick one.
I mean, listen, I'm just saying, I had Persona 5 as my favorite. My runner-up would be Ghost of Tsushima. So do with that what you will. If you like certain soundtracks like more than one, that's fine. But like I said, Nick asked us this question. So whoever would like to go next.
Can you reread the question?
What is your favorite video game soundtrack?
You didn't say one. He just says favorite. So
yeah. What's your favorite? You know, if you have more than one favorite, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to Nick about this to see what the criteria is. Nick,
I mean, I think the question is Nick, barely...
come on down, Nick. You're live with us.
There's literally, Nick is not here. Nick is driving in Montana, digging up some fossils. Don't worry about what Nick's doing right now. What? Just answer the question. Digging up fossils?
We should talk about that.
Oh, that's my God. John, say that to
Were you able to figure out what your favorite video game song is?
You guys answer the questions. I have a list.
So just because basically Will mentioned it before, mine has to be Ghost of Tsushima. That soundtrack is just so beautiful, and just all the different varieties of songs, and just you can have those really nice calming sounds, especially when you're like riding through like the fields and the forest, and then you get those, and then it gets those really like upbeat dramatic times when you're in the fight scenes. It's just that whole album is just absolutely beautiful, and I can't begin to express how much I love it.
You should
and no, I can't begin. I literally can't begin.
The sounds when you find the fox shrines from Ghost of Tsushima, that's a fun little sound too that goes through it.
Oh yeah, yep.
So yeah. The chimes, did you say that?
I said the fox shrines, like the sound that goes through finding fox shrines. No. I'm glad you're listening, John.
Oh, wow.
Damn, that's a callback.
That is a callback. I think that's too soon to be called a callback.
Disagree. Okay. So, John, you got a video game soundtrack you want to share with the class?
Mark, what's up, man?
I guess I'm going next. So, on the spot, I can only think of two, and that's any of the Final Fantasy series soundtracks and any of the Legend of Zelda soundtracks. I love orchestra music, and that sets basically my top two, and then everything else follows.
Is there a specific Legend of Zelda series that like the sound kind of really stands out to you more so than the others?
Obviously Ocarina of Time, because it's the first one I've ever played, followed by Majora's Mask, and then the time, what's the other one? Link's Awakening. Link of the Past. Link of the Past. There you
link
go.
Link of the Past. No, Link to the Past. I think you're
and
right.
And then followed by Wind Waker, probably. And that's it. I haven't played any of the new ones yet. I haven't played The Breath of the Wild. I haven't played Twilight Princess and Skyward. So I haven't. But I'll probably check the soundtrack on that too as well when I get a moment. Because can't go wrong with Zelda soundtrack. It's always nice. Especially sounds effects and stuff like that. Brings back my inner childhood.
The nostalgia for you.
Yeah. And then Final Fantasy, it's just part of me. So I can't. Final Fantasy 7, 8, and then also a little bit of 10 because John introduced me to the soundtrack of 10.
Wow.
15. I love 15. And then number 6, which I think was number 4 in Japan. I don't remember, but it's the one where Terra is. A bit of 8. Final Fantasy 8. Because I haven't played 8 yet, but I've listened to the soundtrack because of this orchestra band called Distance World. They develop, they do concerts of live Final Fantasy songs of, so I know bits and pieces of that. But yeah, those are my top two that stuck up right away as soon as you asked me the questions for me.
Awesome. Last but not least.
Oh, I am so glad Nick asked this question because I have opinions. Here we go. Assassin's Creed 2, Venice Rooftops, Ezio's theme. Ezio's theme is so good that you hear that in every other game that came out in some way or another. Like when Origins came out, they kind of snuck it in with the Egyptian theme. And in Greece, they kind of greased it up. Excellent. No.
That's Soul Calibur too, by the way.
That's a quarter
Soul
of the Calibur greased it up.
Yeah.
The Soul Calibur Ezio team was good.
Yep. I'm really into somber sounding music. So The Last of Us Part 1 and 2, the soundtracks are amazing. There was more Breath of the Wild. That soundtrack is so minimal. There's not too much that goes, like whenever you're riding, you hear Link's theme when you're riding a horse in the middle of the day, but it's like sprinkled notes. And I think the minimalist way that they went for that music is incredible. Mass Effect soundtracks are all pretty fucking awesome. They're really orchestrated, but you also get that kind of sci-fi electrical sounding shit. Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, one of the greatest soundtracks. Final Fantasy X. That's one of my favorite Final Fantasy games, and that soundtrack is fucking amazing also. Anyway, that's it.
I love it, John. That was great. Let's move on to our next category, movies. So what have you guys been watching? And it's been 4 months, so there's been plenty of stuff to watch, and there's been plenty of stuff that's been released. But I'd like to hear from you guys first. So, Matt, I'm sure you've been watching some movies, probably some good ones, probably some bad.
Actually, I am remiss to say that I haven't watched a lot of movies. I've been playing a lot of video games. So I did watch two that I will talk about. One of them is on Netflix. It's Army of the Dead, which is actually kind of a cool spin on a zombie movie. It stars Dave Bautista because, you know, Dave Bautista is a thing. He's an absolute fucking beast in this movie. Oh my God. So basically it takes place where someone got an infection in Las Vegas. The infection spread throughout Las Vegas, and the movie takes place, I think, like a year or so after it started, where they pretty much now walled off all of Las Vegas. It's now completely walled off. No one can get in or out. And they have these like refugees kind of living on the outskirts. And it takes place where Dave Bautista forms a team where he's hired by some like rich guy to go in and like obtain some valuable item in Las Vegas that's behind some sort of vault. And as you go through, you see like there's different kinds of zombies. Like there's like these like head zombies, which are like, I don't know what you would call them, like, like knights, because they do have like a king zombie. They do have like a queen kind of zombie kind of thing. And they all look a little bit differently. They're interesting. And they're like super powerful. Like they have these like, they're like uber strong and obviously like different abilities, which is really cool. It's a good thriller, kind of gory thriller kind of a movie. I wouldn't necessarily call it horror, but very entertaining. I highly recommend you watch that. Just for the sheer fact of just watching people just get annihilated and just like people, like these zombies explode or something, people get their head chopped off, like the kill, like all the kills in there are just so individual and so creative. Very good movie. And then another movie that I watched, which I'm very excited to talk about, is Black Widow. After many, many times of this being delayed, very many, I was finally able to watch it. I watched it actually in theaters with my dad, and it was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I was originally concerned because, you know, if you're putting it off for that long, I was concerned that it would be kind of like a letdown, but there were a lot of good moments in this, a lot of good comedic moments in this. You got to kind of meet, you know, Natasha's quote unquote family. It was cool because you got to see like when she was a kid and how they were doing like an OBS mission, a spy mission while they were in the US and how they had to escape. And you see like even at a young age, she's still like a badass and still knows how to fucking kill people. A lot of good moments in this. I think the real big surprising, well, not surprising thing, but like popular thing that came out of this was Florence Pugh's performance. And just as her quote unquote sister, like she just made an impact and she's just like, everyone wants like a side story of just her. She's fantastic. And, you know, you get, you know, the mom in there and the dad in there and a lot of good moments, a lot of good action, good reference to the main, you know, Marvel story. This kind of takes place after Age of Ultron, where they're kind of on the run because they...
It's like after Civil War.
I'm sorry, Civil War. So basically, like they're on the run. They blame the Avengers for breaking the Sokovia Accord. And so they make reference to, like, you know, Captain America being on the run. No one's seen or heard from him. And Black Widow, she's on the run. It's good. And then they bring it kind of... They tie it back into sort of the Winter Soldier and Captain Falcon kind of thing, where they have a recurring character from that show that comes up in the after credit scene, which is really cool. There was a lot of there was some talk and some flack that they gave like the director and the producer on why none of the other like male characters of the Avengers came in and or made a cameo in this movie. And I love his response. His response was just like, she's Black Widow. She can hold her own. She doesn't need a guy cameo in this movie. And he's absolutely fucking right. This is a fantastic movie from start to finish. It was a nice ride to go on. So anybody who hasn't seen it yet, you can see it. You can see it in theaters. If you want to pay the extra money on Premier Access on Disney Plus, you can do that. But I do highly recommend you guys see it if you haven't already.
I'm out of here. I'm going to go watch Black Widow now.
Bye, guys. John, who'd like to go next to talk about some of the movies they've watched recently?
I probably just have one.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
Well, last podcast, we talked about Mortal Kombat already, so I'm not going to bring that one up. I guess Godzilla versus King Kong. I enjoyed Kong Sky Island. The Godzilla film, King of Monsters, was a so-so for me. But this one, for some reason, it did not click for me, the Godzilla versus Kong. I thought it was kind of somewhat predictable and stuff like that. Too much lighting going on. I don't know if that's a simple complaint. I don't know. It wasn't as entertaining as I thought it would be. It was just all right. I mean, if you like Godzilla and King Kong, like giant monsters, by all means, check it out if you're a fan. But for me, it was a so-so. And other movies, whatever's on the tube, man. I just go home and I turn whatever's on. I rewatch whatever they have on, like, you know, your typical Marvel movies and stuff like that. That's it for me, man. I haven't had time to watch anything at all. I mean, I bought the New Mutants today, so I'm hoping to pop that in and check it out tonight. Hopefully, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, what are movies really at this point?
that is a good point. Well, before here, I'll share with my movies, and then John, you can close out this segment. But
honestly, I don't think I've seen
you really not anything in the past 4 months. You've been that busy.
It's not that I've been that busy. It's just
that's what you just don't want to watch movies right now. You're just not in a movie watching mood. All right, I feel that.
I feel like I went to the theaters and I sat there and I watched.
You definitely did, because you definitely told us about it.
I'm pretty sure you like posted like the first time you went back and like watched about it. But think about that. Look at your social posts. I feel like you went to see something when like movie theaters were slowly opening up, and I remember seeing it posted. So what was John looks for that?
John, Tenet?
Tenet was back last year.
Oh, yeah, right. Tenet was way last year. So here, I'll talk about a couple of movies, ones that Mark and Matt have both highlighted that I saw as well. I saw Godzilla versus Kong. I never watched any of the other MonsterVerse movies leading up to that, so I can't really compare the ones that Mark mentioned, but I enjoyed my time with it. Like, I was fine with it, right? I enjoyed it in terms of the action aspect, but it was predictable.
Yeah.
Very predictable from start to finish, which is kind of a bummer when movies are like that. To go back to Black Widow, Natalie and I, we were like, you know what? We're just going to pay the $30 because we'd rather just watch it from the comfort of our home and see it, right? Because so we watched it, and it kind of sucks that it took this long to get this Black Widow story. But let me tell you, Florence Pugh and Red Guardian carried that movie on their backs. I love Scarlett Johansson, don't get me wrong, but it was just more of Black Widow and nothing really, I think, cemented what we already knew about her before this movie, right? There wasn't a lot of stuff that I felt like gave you a bigger, deep understanding to what Black Widow is. You already knew who she was. You knew she was a badass before this film. You knew that she could take on most things. You knew that she had this secret kind of past. So within this film, it was great to see the chemistry, I think more so between Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson, and seeing that go really well throughout the film. But I think that the biggest highlight is I want more Florence Pugh and Marvel, and in general, not just Marvel, but everything, right? Like, I Florence Pugh is a really great actress, and I went to look up her.
Watch Midsommar.
That's the thing. I looked up her credits after this movie, and she's in Midsommar. She's in a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not a that huge fan of
something else
of horror and shit. And I think that's a horror-y film. But my point is, like,
so well in that
she's a great actress, just from like this time in Black Widow, right? Like the little bits and dialogue that she had in terms of her character, I feel like really fleshed out that. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I do recommend watching it. I think it was a good movie. You know, I think there's some things I wish were better, but all in all, I think it was great being able to see her kind of that family dynamic, right? Like of what she thought was a family, because right. Like, most of people have seen Endgame at this point, and like she considers the Avengers her family in that sense. But like, there's a lot of very good little references to both Civil War as well as to like future stuff. So it'll be exciting to see what the rest happens with Florence Pugh's character or Red Guardian. I'd love to see Red Guardian show up again in the future. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But let me tell you, the mother of the scientist, she has not Rachel Weisz has not aged a day in her life.
She looks good.
Like, everything she acts in, she looks like she literally, like, paused. She paused time affecting her body. Like,
if you literally look at the difference between Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz from then to now, she has not aged a day. He looks completely different.
Brendan Fraser went through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I feel like he went through a lot of attacks sexually, blah blah blah, from certain predatory people. He's been blacklit. Like, he's seen some shit. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's kind of affected him, his well-being. He
broke his back too.
But good Lord, she literally looks all just like she stepped off from the set of The Mummy and was like, you know what, I'll film this. Does not look like she's aged today.
My favorite quote from Black Widow is Florence Pugh calls the guy the Crimson Dynamo, and he just pauses and goes, it's the Red Guardian. It was so funny.
But it's a good cast. So I do recommend
watching, John, you'll laugh
watching that. And then the last movie I guess I'll shout out that I've watched more recently is Space Jam: A New Legacy.
Oh, thank God. Oh my God. I thought you were going to say Kissing Booth 3.
No, I was just about to say that. That's coming out. Dude, okay. So I want to hear what you think of Space Jam, because I am so hesitant to watch it, because I know like our generation grew up with like the original, and
I'm gonna say something real quick. That movie was not made for us.
I know. Okay? I know it wasn't was made
for kids.
I know it wasn't, but it's hard for me to not compare it.
I gotta agree with Matt. It's definitely, I agree with you both. It's definitely not made for us, but also when you've watched Space Jam and like that was like really good and that's what you're used to, the amount of like, it was just a new legacy of references and puns, and it was like overkill. I couldn't deal. But at that point, I want to watch what happens next, because it's on HBO Max and I'm seeing it for free right now because it's already bundled into my cable. So I might as well watch it. So literally, I will say this. There's some actors I highly regard for their acting. And when they were acting in this, I'm like, man, this is not good. Like, I know you're supposed to be certain cheesy, like you need to be cheesy and weird, but oh God, like you pulled it too far back. You got to rein that back in a little bit. Like, I know it's supposed to be, more for kids, but I don't know, man. Like, it was just, some of the acting was off at some scenes, especially early on at the start of this film. I don't know. I think it tried to be something. It relied too much on cultural references too. I think that's what it is. Like, it just relied so heavily on it that like the movie wasn't even about this story. The movie was about throwing in as many cultural references as possible.
Like Ready Player One.
That in. And to me, I'm like,
I liked Ready Player One, though.
What is the point? I love Ready Player One as a book. The movie was fine. The book was better. But going back to Space Jam and New Legacy, after I watched this, I was like, well, this will probably be it. Like, this will probably be it. And then potential spinoff, they want to do a wrestling one. Like, all right, I'm out. I'm done.
a wrestling one?
Jesus. Like, it's gonna star John Cena too. God damn it.
Fuck that shit.
I mean, no, supposedly it's gonna have The Rock. Supposedly Dwayne Johnson's gonna be in the next Space Jam. But then also Space Jam, like I don't know. If you want to watch it with your niece, your nephew, you got young kids, go for it. They're gonna love it, especially if they know most of these references. But I feel like a lot of the 88 to 90s babies, like, mad corny and just cheesy. But I watched it because it was free, so fuck it.
Someone actually went as far and actually like documented like the stats of Michael Jordan in his movie versus LeBron in this movie. And Michael Jordan did so much more work in terms of the actual basketball portion, where LeBron hardly did anything. It stopped becoming basketball for him. He was just kind of standing around.
He would have gotten injured if someone touched him.
It's probably true. Or he would have flopped, yeah.
I know references. I know basketball stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, anyways,
Lucky Bucks.
That's about it. Woo! Yeah, John, did you find your recent movie thing? What was your movie?
And I can't believe I forgot this, but I went to go see the third Conjuring movie.
Oh, that's right.
So the first two were more like haunted houses. This was more of an investigation. So it all takes place in Connecticut, like... And there's references to Fairfield and that university in Fairfield. I forgot what that shit's called.
Yeah, University of Fairfield.
Yeah.
Fairfield University.
Yeah, I know stuff.
Yeah. Connecticut, by the way, the most haunted state in all of the U.S.
Basically, this family moves into a new place, and then their son gets a demon gets inside him. But it was a hex. It was a hex that someone put under the house to lure a demon to them. So then Ed and Lorraine Warren had to go figure out who was doing it, and they were investigating, and it leads them to this woman that did everything. And she's actually an actress from Tampa, which is a pretty big deal for Tampa, I guess. I don't know.
Guys, you just literally won the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup. Like, okay, so you guys are fine.
And the baseball one and the soccer one.
They did okay.
Yeah.
Just as he flips me off.
Yeah, Stanley Cup, Twiz Ice. That's rap for twice.
And then he's rap for twice.
Yeah, so then I was like, oh, cool. I guess I'll rewatch all of the Conjuring movies. So I did them in chronological order, which is pretty good. I didn't watch La Llorona because I don't think it's part of the Conjuring universe. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's all I've watched as far as movies go.
Well, aside from movies. Oh,
no. July 4th, I watched America, the Motion Picture, which was ridiculous. Did you guys know about this? It's that Netflix animated movie.
No, I've never heard of it.
What is it? And it's fucking, it is so stupidly out of control that it's hilarious. They just rewrote the whole Revolutionary War to make it as stupid and as like college humor-y as possible.
To basically like make fun of both sides and whatnot.
Yeah, don't watch it don't watch it. Take my word for it. It's stupid. It's hilarious, but you don't need to waste your time with that.
If you get easily offended.
Not even that. It's just stupid. Just don't.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, other than movies.
But it is hilarious. But it's so stupid.
Got it.
What kind of TV shows have you guys been watching lately? Anything good? Anything you finished or anything new that you started?
So Sweet Tooth.
I was waiting for that. You got a pre-screening, didn't you?
I did. I registered it to Netflix or something. And they're like, you've been selected to watch the first episode before anybody else. And have a personal interview with Robert Downey Jr.
What?
That last part was a joke.
Oh, damn. I was so excited for you. Damn.
So, yeah.
The joke because it was pre-recorded?
Yeah. I watched the first episode and I loved it. And then I didn't watch the rest of it.
What? Are you kidding me? You were so excited for this.
A comic series that John did not shut up about when it first came out.
Oh my God.
To it being announced that it was coming to Netflix. So, oh shit, I can't wait to watch this. One's fine.
John, I'm so disappointed.
I loved the first episode, but there was something that Robert Downey Jr.'s wife said that kind of put me off, like before, because they had like an interview. And she's like, it's a show that you can just sit with your kid and kind of cuddle with them and watch. And I was like, that doesn't sound like Sweet Tooth at all, because it's one of the darkest fucking stories I've ever read in my life. And I was like, oh, did they make this, like, is it not for me? Is it for kids? So I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this, because like, it won't ruin the book for me, because the books will always be there. I can go back and read them, which I did immediately. But it's like, I don't know if I'm the demographic that should be watching this, because I know where the story is going. But if this is kid friendly, I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Because then it's not staying true to the source material. Exactly.
It's not even that. It's just like, at that point, it wouldn't really be for me. Like, I wouldn't expect Jeopard to be like a hard ass. Like, he'll do anything to survive, kill anybody while he's got Sweet Tooth. And Sweet Tooth kills in the book series. So he doesn't get away with not being able to murder anybody. He does plenty of murdering. But if this is more for kids and like all like happy, oh, we're going on an adventure in the, you know, while everything's gone to shit, I'm just like, I don't know if I want to watch that.
Well, now you got it, because now I want to know.
So I didn't.
Or Matt, crazy idea, you watch the show yourself.
See, but that's the thing. Like, I don't have the reference from the books that John has, and I feel like I would need to do that.
No, dude, you can just watch it as is and you know, see for yourself. You don't have to compare both.
There's a kind of like a cult in the books that they added to the series, and they rape, they fucking kill anybody that have hybrids that like will tear you to pieces. But in the series, they're like 12 to 13 year old kids, essentially, that are killing just adults. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch that. So I didn't, and I watched Black Summer instead, which, holy shit. So I didn't watch it when it originally came out. Black Summer is like it's a prequel to the sci-fi series that you don't really need to fucking watch, because that's weird as shit. I forgot.
It's horrible as shit. It's Z Nation. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
So Black Summer is much better.
So while Z Nation is like tongue-in-cheek, very weird and funny, I guess, Black Summer is straight up horror. The zombies run. Yeah. The cast is pretty good, because they're not all good people. Except for the deaf dude. I felt bad for him. And the kid with the curly hair in the first season, like, everything goes wrong for him. And like the first 5 minutes of the second season, he just like,
Jesus,
he gets it. And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, you had it the worst. But dude, everything about that series is fucking phenomenal. I think it's the best zombie show that's ever been put out.
I agree with you. I just want to chime in. I didn't know about Black Summer until I saw new season coming soon. And I was like, let me watch this. Right. So I watched the first episode and I was like, oh shit. Like, this is good, because you know, something's wrong, but you don't know what and why. And I think one of the things that Black Summer does best is introducing the characters and then showing their perspectives and how these perspectives and encounters and how they eventually coincide and happen throughout the story. So this story weaves so well. And as John said, there's some characters that by the end of that first season, you're like, shit, I hope they survive. And then you see some of them in the second season, you're like, you're gonna, oh, all right, okay, damn, they did you dirty, huh? And then second season, I think, jumped around too much. Whereas the first season, I felt like the jumping, everything was intentional. It was purposeful. It felt good. Whereas I think second season, like, that threw me off. I don't know about you, if you feel the same way, but
the first season was a lot more claustrophobic because you had a group of people that were always close together. And the second one, they were more like spread out. So you didn't really get to feel that claustrophobic feeling of everyone being scared at the same time. It's more like, oh, this character's down there with a new group. Oh, this character and her daughter is in a house. But let me tell you, that I think is the third episode of season two in the house. That is one of the most tense things I've ever experienced in my life. By far, that episode was, that's my favorite episode of the whole series. But Spears, man, he was my favorite character in the first season. Come on.
Yeah, that really sucks. And I think as soon as he, you know, goes full circle by season two, and I was like, shit, I think he's just exhausted. He's been through some shit. He's seen some shit. And I think that's another thing too that this show does great. You feel overwhelmed for these characters. Damn. I don't know. I just feel like out of all the zombie adaptations I've seen over the years, I agree with you, John. I think this is probably one of the better and also more realistic.
Yep. It definitely feels more grounded than even The Walking Dead, which is supposed to be as realistic as possible. But this feels much more grounded. And I think it's because it's in Canada. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, these zombies feel like they have like limitless energy. Like they're so much more ferocious. The only thing I don't like too much about the series, and they do it more in the second series, is when they kind of like when the camera just lingers on a character and it'll stay in them for like a ridiculous amount of time. And it's cool because it like the less cuts you have, the more tension it grows. But if you have a fucking character that's just doing nothing for 5 minutes straight, it's just like, how much did you cut to fit in this episode that you needed all of this time for it to be where it needed to be? And that was something that annoyed me because a lot in the second season, especially, I just fast forwarded as much as I possibly could. But yeah, that show is fucking amazing. It's good. Watch that shit.
I agree. And I think the first season is my favorite. I think just because of like a lot of what John's saying. And also I think just because it's a tighter group. And then the second season, it does get a little crazy because you're introducing so many other characters and you're trying to keep track of these stories. And then also where they cut and where they edit to them, where they then put you in frame, you go so far ahead that then you're like, oh, who the fuck is this? And then a couple episodes later, you find out who that character was two episodes previously. And you're like, oh, okay, this is now starting to make sense. I feel like they took a little bit longer in that second season to like make those fit better. But
yeah, there's that whole episode in front of the house where like there's two groups like shooting at each other and then they're trying to get into the house and I'm like, who's shooting who? What's the story here? What the fuck is going on? Like I don't who are all these people?
It was so confusing.
But it does definitely like all come
it comes together nicely in the last couple episodes. But
Last episode they chose like every wrong decision that they like every stupid decision that they could have taken. That episode was a little bit of a letdown. I don't want to get too into it, but it's just like the decision making like went down to the pooper. Like it was stupid.
Anybody else want to talk about some TV shows they watched recently, or should I just go? Oh wait, you got one more. Go, keep going, John.
So when I found out that the original Unsolved Mysteries was on YouTube, it's like this old 90s shows with from the 80s and it spans all the way through the 90s. It's on YouTube. And I was like, oh my God, my mom used to scare the shit out of me watching this like at 9 o'clock before we went to sleep. I'm going to do this again. So I started rewatching it and man, that show's fucking crazy. I'm on like season 4, episode 13 or whatever the fuck. Anyway, it's on YouTube. So just search Unsolved Mysteries and you'll watch them again. So spooky and mysterious and unsolved. Some of them are solved. Go for
Wait,
it.
Wait, if they're solved, then they should not be in the Unsolved Mysteries.
I was about to say.
So people would call into their toll-free number to give tips on murderers or kidnappers or people that are just out being looked for. And then they would fucking catch them with cameras and shit. It was awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. Watch that shit if you Pretty cool. are into that. Yeah. I heard the Netflix one wasn't that great, but watch the original. You can't go wrong with the OG. Come on, son.
Should I share my TV story? TV show story? No. Or should Matt go next? You have one more, John? I'm sorry. We'll keep going.
I'm just kidding.
All right. You're such a pain in the ass. Matt, you want to go?
Yeah, so I got a couple. Are we going to do just TV shows or are we going to click anime into this or do we want to combine? What do you think?
Yeah, we'll combine this one. That's fine. Yeah.
I mean, because they're the same thing. All right, so I'll start with some anime. So I completed with Mark Hunter Hunter, the anime.
Yay.
That was so good. Like I felt the ending was a little predictable, but in to a point where it was still kind of satisfying, you know, where you got to hang out with his dad and stuff. So that was really cool. That Chimera arc took fucking forever. Oh my God.
Most depressing anime arc I have ever watched in my life.
You're not kidding. Jesus. I felt my heart was almost as black as John's at certain points just watching this.
Fuck
this,
you. I have arc. A fucking black hole. I don't have a heart, you stupid ass.
Whatever. I just felt like it was so depressing watching that arc. And then it got into the next one, which was really interesting.
Right, Zodiacs, right? Yeah. Was it the Zodiacs?
Zodiacs, yeah. Yeah. The Zodiac arc. That was a fun one. So, no, I'm good. I mean, I know this is something that we had started watching a while ago, and we were meaning to kind of finish it, and we kind of were watching it in chunks as the new collections kind of came out. And I'm glad we finally got to finish it. So now we can focus on watching some other stuff. I've also started watching the new season of My Hero Academia, season 5, a little behind because, again, I mentioned it before. From the beginning, I've watched it dubbed, not subbed, and I'm waiting for it to be dubbed. So I think I'm at like episode 2 or 3 of season 5. So you know what? You can give me thumbs down. You can flip me off. I don't care.
Can you read I'm not the flipping him off, this? Matt.
I love the dub version.
Can you read the subs?
Thank you, Mark.
I can't, John.
Very nice. Very nice. So again, I'm very excited for this new season. I fucking love this anime so much. And I know they're going to be introducing a lot more new characters and new quirks in there. So I'm excited to see where that's going to go. And then I've watched the Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show on Disney Plus. Very, very good. I just love that relationship between Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, aka, you know, Captain Falcon, Winter Soldier. It's great. They go on these like little side missions. They like gripe at each other. It's fantastic. I love the enemies they have in here. That whole little faction was kind of cool, and how they're pretty much they're super soldiers in themselves. They have this like serum that they've been taking, and their abilities got enhanced, which is really cool. So that was a cool one. And I like how at the end, again, you know, and it's in the comics where they, you know, that we have a new Captain America. I hated the other Captain America they had in that. He was such an asshole. Like they do these comparisons where, you know, Captain America never, the original Captain America, Steve Rogers, never acknowledged that he is in fact Captain America. He just is who he is. He's just a kid from Brooklyn. But this new guy just always is like, yep, I'm Captain America. That's what I do. I save people. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. So I think it was great that Sam was able to then step into that role and take over. Yeah.
That's also the point of that character. Like, you as Asian, you're not supposed to like them.
I know. And it worked because he was a piece of shit. I feel like you want to say something.
He's not a piece of shit. He comes from a very different, because there's a lot of similarities between US Agent versus Captain America. The big throughout with going with Steve Rogers, this is a soldier that followed every order to a T until they figured out something was wrong inside with the government. Winter Soldier, Hydra, right? This is a soldier, rent a cap, if you will, that has followed every order and has done everything they've done, that has gotten so much pressure to that they're trying to follow this ideal. And that they've always listened to orders, whereas Captain America finally stopped being the unknowingly following soldier and finally started fighting for the main cause and what was right. So you have someone who's just continuously followed orders to the breaking point. So they had a similar path, and just one just happened to just implode, whereas the other started to just kind of question everything as opposed to just blindly follow, right? Yeah. So like, I think that they start off the same way. It's just kind of, One pressures and it implodes, and then one just kind of starts not just blindly following orders.
Mm-hmm. No, so fair point.
Like, and also different time periods, right? Like expectations. Yeah. So like, but that's also the point. Like the US Agent, you're never supposed to like them. You aren't in the comic book series either. But
yeah, so you know, it still worked. I mean, the series was great. I watched it every time the new episode came out, and then we got into, I think, which is, if I had to rank my favorite, you know, these Marvel TV shows on Disney Plus, this next one is definitely on top. It's Loki. This series was fucking fantastic. I mean, Tom Hiddleston in itself, he's tremendous. He's great. He's even quoted, he said, "I'll play Loki forever if you want me to." He loves this role. He also produced the show, which was great. And it really does kind of lean into like Loki and kind of his persona. Like he, because with all these different variants or different versions of Loki from different universes and stuff, different aspects of him. And at the same time, he's not trustworthy. He doesn't trust others. And yet he, in a sense, he falls in love with himself in a sense because of his other variant, which is so incredibly narcissistic and so Loki, which I really liked. It was just so good. And we also need a separate series for Alligator Loki, because that was just fantastic. Fucking loved Alligator Loki. And I think the supporting efforts of Owen Wilson, I mean, give Owen Wilson flack for what you want. He did fantastic. I loved his Mobius character. So great. There's this little wisecrack little meme in there of when, you know, he gets pruned and he goes to the end of time and he's driving a car. Someone's like, oh, meet my variant. This is Lightning McQueen kind of thing. Like that was a funny meme that I saw, but I liked him a lot. And I think the big twist right at the end, I'm not going to reveal what the twist is, but the very twist right at the end of the show was great. You got to see a version of Kang in there, which is awesome. It's a version of him. It's not his actual thing. He's the most powerful but less evil version.
Are you spoiling shit? Just saying.
Literally just said you're not going to reveal a twist, and then you just dropped the twist.
That's not the twist.
You yes, meet him as a character. That's it. Part of it.
No, Matt, that's not the twist. You got to watch the end of the season for the actual twist. But that was cool.
I've seen the whole season. I've seen it all, but I'll wait.
But for people who haven't seen it, yeah.
Would you say you low-key love the show or hella love the show?
Okay.
John, I'm not even going to acknowledge that one.
He's on fire. And they've also announced that there's going to be a season 2 of Loki, which is cool, because all the other shows that we've shown were only going to be like that 6-7 episode arc, and that was it. They've announced that there is going to be a season 2.
So are you low-key excited for season 2 or hella excited?
I'm not going to answer that question. I'm not going to answer that question. You can shut up right now.
A hella Loki.
I'm Thor-y.
Any more TV shows? God. Matter? That's pretty much it for you.
I can't right now because of John. All the puns for John, but yeah, that's it.
Mark, do you have any TV shows, or should I just go next?
I have no TV shows, so you can go next.
Or do you want to talk about some anime, maybe, other than Hunter x Hunter that you finished with Matt? Because we can just kind of combine those.
Not really. By all means.
TV shows that I would recommend. There's a TV show called The Magicians. There is only 5 seasons. Nat and I were watching them for a while, and then we still had season 4 and season 5 left. So we just finished season 4 and we started season 5. But basically, it's a kind of fucked up version, and better, in my opinion. It's better than Harry Potter. Like, it's basically adults with magic that figure out they have magic and the fucked up shit that happens when you fuck with magic that you shouldn't fuck with. The ramifications.
Better than Harry Potter. I mean.
It's much better than Harry Potter.
Shut your mouth right now, John.
Yeah, it's much better. But so Magicians, highly recommend it. You should watch it. There's 5 seasons and that's it. So we're still working on that. And then another TV show series that I guess I'll jump to the MCU. I think we've already talked about WandaVision earlier this year in a previous episode. So the only two I'd be missing would be Winter Soldier, right? Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then Loki. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I thought was awesome. I think it was great because of Anthony Mackie's performance. I think a lot of that chemistry between him and Sebastian Stan, that played out really well throughout that show. I think that show is really strong in its second to last episode. Last episode, kind of like a little rough, but I think that what's happening in our real world, right, with race and everything else, like it was represented very well within the show. And I'm glad that Marvel didn't shy away from that, right, and like went through with that. So I'm not going to spoil anything, but I highly recommend watching this show. I think that it helps kind of set up what's next for Captain America, because the last thing that most people know is that Steve Rogers went to give the shield to Anthony Mackie, right? And he's like, this feels like someone else's. And Steve says it's not. But a lot of the morals that Steve Rogers, right? And I'm spacing on his name right now in the show. Oh my God, this is horrible. But the same morals of Captain America and the Falcon, right? They have same morals and values. So even though he kind of doesn't really want to accept this mantle, seeing that transition from the start to the end, it's really great. So I'm excited for whatever they do next with Anthony Mackie in the future. Loki is probably the worst DC show, in my opinion, so far to date. It is only served as a purpose to create what's going to inevitably happen within MCU. The acting was fine. Like, Tom Hiddleston's good. Owen Wilson is not. He was super basic and just Owen Wilson, in my opinion. And I don't think he really did much of great value to this show. That he had a few good one-liners, but the whole concept of this show, I think once I figured out where it was going, I was just kind of over it. Like, there were some great sounds. Like, the soundtrack for Loki is great. I think that Tom Hiddleston is a great actor, but also I think they could have done better. There's these twists and stuff, but like, I think out of all of them, Loki is by far at the bottom, whereas Falcon and the Winter Soldier, in my opinion, are at the top, and WandaVision is kind of in the middle.
Is this supposed to be like Journey into the Mystery, like those comic books?
I mean, everybody knows this. This isn't spoiling anything, but an Endgame, right? When the Avengers go back to steal the Infinity Stones to hopefully fix what Thanos did and killing half the people to reverse it, right? And one of the branches, Loki is able to have the Tesseract at his feet, picks it up, and then teleports out. So what is Loki doing in this other branch of the timeline? And kind of brings in the question, well, what is the timeline? Is there a multiverse? Is there not? So I think that it answered the questions, but it didn't make it exciting. It just kind of, it was run of the mill. Like, I felt like it just wasn't taking a lot of big chances, and there weren't high stakes, because you knew that this show was a set of a purpose. So I think that when you watch it, there are some aspects that might intrigue you. I think once you understand its endgame, it's just kind of like, all right, this is really just to get us from point A to point B. There is really no loss within the show. This doesn't bring up any kind of high stakes. And it's just good acting from Tom Hiddleston, in my opinion, and Sylvie, who's introduced in this, aka the Enchantress. So like, you know, there's some good actor and a new good actress, but like, I don't know. It's kind of vanilla for MCU. I wanted more from it.
So you said that, you know, if you were ranking the three, you had Falcon Winter Soldier on top, WandaVision 2, Loki 3.
Yep.
Okay. So I again, your opinion, my opinion, I have Loki at top. I have, again, WandaVision 2. I have Falcon Winter Soldier at 3. Not to take away from each show individually, I found all three of them very entertaining, and I liked all three of them. That's just kind of how I ordered it for me.
Oh my God, Bill Bob's saying your opinion sucks. What do you say?
Yeah, that's basically what Matt took the time
that's
to
say. That's not what I'm saying. I said everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Took the time to say our opinions are different, but
here's why mine's better.
Here's everyone's entitled to their opinion. Said, Will, and my opinion matters more. But that's
everyone's
fine.
Entitled to their opinion. That's your opinion. Right. I have my own opinion, and that's right. And that's it. That's
right. Yeah, and you had to take time to do that, but yeah, all right, you do you. You're gonna
take that shit, dude. You're gonna take that.
You know, listen, look. If someone cannot follow through with Loki, that's problematic. I can. Most people couldn't. And I feel like a lot of people that don't have time to watch every single movie, to watch every single TV show, you're going to have a hard time following up with Loki and what certain characters or organizations are in this. And if you didn't know much about the comics behind it, you're not going to know much of these references that are through it. So regardless, Loki, in my opinion, is still not the best show. It is at the bottom. Going back to what I said earlier, if it wasn't for Tom Hiddleston, even more so, like, that show is horrible. But I, like, that's the thing. I think we get to this point where, like, going back to Black Widow, right? Here, I'm just going to compare Black Widow to Loki for a second. We know what happens to Scarlett Johansson's character in Endgame, right? So within Black Widow, there needs to be a believable story or have some kind of stakes. Black Widow serves as a purpose, as an in-between story to make sense of why she disappears and then eventually comes back. There's no high stakes in Black Widow. You already know how that's going to end. Like there's none. There's no high stakes. The only thing great about that is that you have these new characters that will then hopefully get fleshed out later on. Loki, there's no high stakes. Once you figure out the path it's going, the only thing that's nice is some of the new characters that were brought in to hopefully may have more of an impact later on. I think that it's a point A to a point B situation, but that's just me, my opinion. So watch them if you want. If you don't, you don't. that's about all the TV shows I've watched recently. In terms of anime, though, I finally finished Castlevania season 4. I thought Castlevania season 4 to finally finish the series. I know we talked about the creator being a fucking asshole, predatory, harassment towards other writers, right? Yeah. Sexual shit. Yeah, we talked about this like episodes ago, John and I, when John brought that up, and I didn't know anything about it. But
Warren Ellis is a scumbag.
Right, and he's not even attached to the credits in this final season, thankfully. But man, the artists that did the animation for this work, 10 out of 10. Those last two episodes, I rewatched for the shits and giggles because of the amount of fucking action and shit. Like, that animation team deserves an award. Don't know if there's an animation award out there, but it should just go to those artists that worked on Castlevania.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Probably for animation, right? It has to be. So definitely watch Castlevania. I've been watching My Hero Academia. However, I've been reading the manga, so I'm further in the manga than the anime, but anime is good, just as it always is, in subtitles, because I love subtitles and it's great.
Nothing wrong with subtitles. Like, there's certain things that I
Put your opinion again.
No, listen. There are certain. Listen, you want to watch it sub? That's Billy Bob started watching it.
Confirmed again from Billy Bob. Apparently, no, my opinion sucks.
Listen, you know, if you started watching it sub and you want to watch it sub, that's fine. I started watching it dubs. So like that mm-hmm. just switching mm-hmm. over is just odd to me. There are certain like movies and stuff that I've watched before, like the Death Note movies and stuff that I've watched subbed, and will continue to watch it sub because that's great. This one I just happened to start dubbed, and I just want to keep on with that.
Keep on keeping on with your opinions.
That's right.
Well, let's keep
everyone's
on.
Opinions are valid.
Unless they conflict with yours.
No, everyone's opinion is valid. Although, Will, I want to know because you started watching Food Wars. Am I wrong?
I was going to save this for another time, but I'm going to say this.
Yes, all right. Got him.
In a previous episode, I was like, you know, this fan service, I can't stand fan service. I just can't. However, I had some time on my hands being that it's summer. And I was like, fuck it. I'm doing some stuff. I'll watch an episode. And then I was like, oh, wow, there's actually a good story here other than the way too much fan service. And then I watched another, and then 2 became 4, and then 4 became 6. And before I knew it, I was 10 episodes deep. I was like, I gotta stop today. I will say Food Wars has a great story.
Yeah.
Thank God the fan service dies down by the following season.
It
didn't, I think I would just be done. Because
it's predictable too.
I think it's not only is it predictable, but I think Food Wars and Fire Force are both in that area where it's a good story. I like the characters. But the amount of fan service that pops up, it becomes disingenuous to the story, in my opinion. And I just feel like, why are we going to have these arcs and then throw in these fan service moments? Because if they do, like, they do nothing to serve the story. It's literally purely there to make a joke out of something and, like, move the story forward, not backwards. So, like, just because you're making progress and a good story moment doesn't mean we need to throw in this little sexual innuendo or some other unnecessary shit. Because I just feel like, literally, Food Wars on paper, story is great. Goes to the best cooking school in the world. Competes against chefs from all around the world. That's fucking dope. That's look like the CIA, yeah, the Culinary Institute of America. But, like, on crack. So, to have these
different... A lot of crack.
To have these different chefs from Italy, Germany, wherever, come around compete, right? Whether it's they have their own family restaurant, so they want to eventually branch out and have their own restaurant, them learning how to make their own meals. Like, there's so much good story in Food Wars. And I think the best part is I really like the main character in that for a while, he gets by doing changes and learning from his previous, like, not even battles, but learning from every previous thing he's done cooking. Okay, how can he make it better? To the point where, like, he makes his own dish with a competition to see if it can get featured, right? And I'm not spoiling anything, but, you know, he learns. So it's progressing.
Like how everyone pretty much, like, discounts him because he's like, oh, you're just from a family eatery. Like, what do you know about cooking? And he knows what he's fucking doing.
Right. And I think that's the important part, right? Like, he's very much the definition of an underdog. So like, but also it's not even just an underdog. He's been cooking since he was six, and he has a much better understanding of cooking compared to some of these people that don't have the same amount of basic experience. And they're just based off of what they know and knowledge at that point in time. So I love the story wise Food Wars. I'm very sad that Netflix does not have all the seasons I want to watch right now. I'm pretty sure I've watched like the first two seasons, and then I had to jump to Hulu until I finished the other season. Literally, I have jumped hoops to try to watch this story with Food Wars.
That's awesome.
All right.
Dude, if you want, I will let you borrow some of my seasons. I will let you do that if you want to finish watching it.
At least up until season four. Yeah, because I heard it gets even crazier, like story wise. But I'm trying not to go too much further. But yeah, I think, you know, I love a good story. Have more good stories, less fan service. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Like, I love Fire Force. It's a great story. We don't need these fucking episodes of fan service.
I haven't watched it or caught up to it at all. Like, I just stopped wherever the first part of season one was. And then that's it.
I get that too. Like, we don't have an unlimited amount of time. Obviously, we haven't recorded an episode for 4 months. But, you know, I think if you want to watch a good story, Food Wars, it's a good anime. If you can ignore the fan service, and by season two, I promise it gets better. Less fan service, more of that story. But yeah, that's all the anime / TV shows I've been watching. So let's move on to our second to final segment. What kind of things have you been reading? What kind of comics? Any good manga you kind of want to talk about?
Not really, no.
I think this is a John category.
Yeah.
What about regular books?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Yes.
What you been reading?
There he goes. I'm just going to say right off the bat, I have nothing. Jesus, so this is literally a John segment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
By my birthday, I bought this book called House of Leaves. And I've never read a book that actually felt like it was cursed. This is like the first thing where I'm just like, I'm super uncomfortable reading this. Essentially, it's a haunted house story where this couple and their kids, they move into this new house so the couple can get together because they're talking about divorcing, and new rooms kind of just start popping up in the house. The house itself doesn't grow, but inside it kind of starts kind of pushing itself. And then they find this door that leads to the basement, and the basement is like a fucking bottomless pit, and there's a monster in the middle of it. So that's as far as I've gotten. But the book is written with three characters. One is a blind guy that's seen the documentary. Another one is a guy that comments on what the first guy comments. The more you read it, the more the person writing kind of starts going crazy. So you'll see him like writing full paragraphs, and then it's just like house. And then the next page, he repeats it. And then there's one where he scribbles, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And just kind of like writes all over it. So after that, I started reading The Andromeda Strain by Michael Crichton. He actually wrote Jurassic Park and The Lost World. I didn't know that. So it's basically...
That's right.
It's a virus that kind of engulfs this like small town, and the government has to try to figure out what happened and how to solve it. And it happens all in 3 days. The only two survivors are an old man and a two-week-old baby, Morty, which I'm reading right now. It's about a cat. So there was a war that – it's a sci-fi book. So there was a war that happens where all the house animals kind of get up on their hind legs and kind of – they're smart and they kind of take over the world. Kind of like that episode in Rick and Morty, where are my balls?
Taking over the world?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where are my testicles, Summer?
that's such a good episode.
And so Morty is a house cat. Well, he used to be a house cat, and he's looking for a dog that used to live across the street. So this is his journey, like trying to go through the war while trying to find his playmate. And it's actually really good. I just started with it.
Now, what an interesting perspective, like that the whole thing is from the point of view of a cat. So that's pretty cool.
Another one is East of Hunslow. I don't know. It's Hunslow. It's a British book about ordinary drug dealer that gets engulfed in like this huge conspiracy, and MI5 hire him to look into some sort of terrorism sell that's happening in London. It's pretty good. There's two more in the series, and I want to start reading that. And the last one I haven't read yet, but it's Reborn in the USA by Roger Bennett. He's a co-host of my favorite podcast that I listen to, Men in Blazers. It's all like soccer and shit. And he wrote this about how he came over from Liverpool in the 80s and became an American. And that's pretty much it.
Oh, goodness. All right. So let's move on to our final category for today's podcast episode. Video games. What you guys have been playing? Anything fun? Anything new?
A couple more games I've been playing.
Let Mark go first.
No, it's fine.
Because he hasn't spoken
in like a while.
All right. Video games. I have one. It's called Dragon Crown. I heard about it on PS3 and PS Vita a while back, I believe 2013. And then they just recently released it for PS Pro, calling it Dragon Crown Pro, which is it's a side-scrolling RPG game. It's basically you picking up between characters and saving kingdom. They have like six characters. Start off with the fighter. Fighter's your typical knight, shield, sword. He's like the tank. He protects your team. And then you have your second class, which is the Amazon character that wields a two-handed weapon. She is also a beast. She's light armored, so similar to a knight. And then you got your elves who uses bows and arrows, very agile. If you're going to pick that character, do be aware you do need to pick up arrows to actually use that character. Long range, though, which is good. Oh, dwarves, which wields two weapons. That's another class that was fun to use. One hand axe, one hand hammer. You have your sorceress class, which is like a support class, and then support wielding spell class. And then you have the wizards, which is the one that I'm using right now, opposite to the sorcerer, which is like, it focuses mostly on attack, elemental attacks and stuff like that. This game is basically about you trying to find a king who decided to look for a crown that can control dragons. And typical RPG, you basically go on adventure, goes on quest, and you level up, you earn more skills, you get equipments, you put on, you beat monsters and stuff like that. It's a pretty fun game for me. Well, it is. I love the artwork. Soundtrack is great. Multiplayer, it does, but you have to get to a certain part of the game to be able to play with other people online. You won't be playing alone, because even if you don't play with people online, you can recruit warriors to join you on your quest. So that way you always have backup. I haven't come across any glitches yet, thank God. Other than that, yeah, that's basically all I'm playing right now.
Mark, is this a thing that you've been streaming on Twitch?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you get to craft in this game at all? Or is it just you pick up gear that's hopefully better than yours?
It's basically like that. You pick up gears and then you have somebody appraise it. And then obviously, like, you know, like an RPG, you have the colors. You have the white, the orange, which is rare, the regular blue, black, purple, or whatever, by ranks. And then you don't get to level them up since you pick higher weapons or items that you can put on. And then if you're a wizard like I'm using right now, I joined a guild, which allowed me to do more side quests, which allows me to unlock my skill points, like magic, basically. So I can summon like firewalls or, you know, summon meteors, grits, tornadoes and shit. Depends on what skill you pick and learn. So I don't know about the other classes yet, because I haven't ventured off yet. Still doing the main story. I'm not even sure I'm halfway through the main story, because I'm doing nothing but side missions. According to the trophy list, there are 50 side missions that I need to do to unlock certain portraits and stuff like that. I don't know if there's any more after that. It just says complete 50 to unlock 50 portraits. And then underneath it, it says complete all the side quests. So I don't know if there's more than 50. I haven't looked into it yet, which is fine, because I like to adventure on this game and learn as I go. That's what I was streaming, unless Facebook streaming wise, I've just been streaming my old games, like PS3 games. Yeah, that's basically it for me on video games.
Quick question on the Dragon Crown. You said there was a guild. Is this guild with other real people that you work with online, or is this a bunch of NPCs?
It's part of NPC. It's part of the game. You have to join that one guild so you can do side quests and you can level up and stuff like that. Oh, recruiting people. You basically find dead bodies on your adventure. You bring that to church. You have the priest revive them into warriors for a price.
What is the price? Your soul?
No, like gold. Like gold. Depends on how strong the dead body you found. Like, let's say it's a strong knight, it's gonna be like 1,000 gold to revive them. Or you can decide to bury them, whatever you prefer. So
interesting.
And for those who are interested in watching you play this game, what is your screen name on Twitch?
I rarely stream because of work, but if you are willing to check it, it's no_name_316. I mostly stream Monster Hunter World because it's just like that game. I just automatic to me. I don't need my brain to like play that. I just go.
Hack and slash.
And then Dragon Crown, and then this puzzle game. It's similar to like, I guess, Candy Crush. Gems War, I believe it's called. Yeah, those are the three things that I normally just stream just for the hell of it. Yeah, that's it for me on video games.
John, what have you been playing lately?
So glad you asked. I have words. So lately, I've been really trucking down Mass Effect. I played the first two games, which I've never been able to play before because I think they were Xbox exclusives. So I did play the third one back in when I had my PS3. And I loved it. And it's funny because whenever I tell people like, oh, my favorite game is Mass Effect 3, they're always just like, ew, why? And I'm like, well, because I never played the other ones. And now that I finally played the other two, I can see why people are just like, just play two. That's all you need to do. So I did that. And I didn't realize how interconnected all these games were. Like there's a part from the first game. There's like a stupid side mission from the first game where you can either kill this monster or let her go free. So what I did was I let her go free. And then she's back in the third game where she's like, oh, I remember you. You let me go free. And I'm like, oh, shit, I remember you. I let you go free. So then I let her go free again. And there's these like little things where you in the first game, there was a side mission where this lady wanted you to get rid of two drug dealers. And it turns out that she was the competition. So when you go back to her, you can either kill her because she's a drug dealer or like, if you don't change your ways, I'm going to find you and I'm going to murder you. So you see her in the second game. She's like, oh, after we had that talk, I really had to change your heart. Now I'm a counselor. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like how they bring all these things back. And now that I'm playing the third game, I can see how much game I missed from not having played the other two before. And I did finish a little while ago a game called Yakuza Like a Dragon, which, what a game. I didn't think I would like this game as much as I did.
Dude, it was just fun watching you play the game. Just you never know what you're going to see next. And it just comes in. You're like, what the hell is going on?
It's the first series you hopped in. So you're excited probably because it's, you know, brand new to you.
Right. And this is the newest one of the series, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm a little disappointed that I started out with this one because there's so many characters from the other games that kind of pop in. And I had no idea who they were. But the moments feel like there's such like really, really big moments where I should be like, holy shit, is this character from this other Yakuza game that I never played? But yeah, man, the side missions, the main mission goes from hilarious and then like slowly just like goes darker and darker and darker. The game knows how to like go from humor to like absolute like get your shit together. This is serious. And Ichiban Kasuga is like one of my favorite characters because he's so good, funny and goofy. And at the same time, he reminds me a lot of Yusuke from Yu Yu Hakusho. I know I told Mark before, where he's just like really loyal to his people. And he knows when to get like, he'll fuck you up, man.
And John, I believe this is a JRPG, correct?
Yeah. So what sets this game apart from the other one is that because the creator was really a big fan of Dragon Quest.
Dragon Heroes, yeah. Dragon Quest, yeah. Yeah.
He puts that sort of in the game. So Ichiban himself loves these games. And because he was in prison for like 20 years, that's really the only game that he got to play. So when he fights, he kind of sees like this fantastical, like he's a shining knight and people have like red eyes and they're like demons. Obviously, he's just fighting people one-on-one and he's got like a baseball bat, which is like a sword in his eyes.
Yeah. But it's turn-based battle, right?
Yes.
I'm just going to mute myself and stop talking.
It's literally was the second thing I was just going to say.
Spoiler.
Anyway, I'm editing that out. So it's turn based, and it's fun, man. So that's what set this game apart. So I went from like, oh, I guess I'll just try out a few Yakuza games, and I ended up buying like all fucking seven games. including Judgment, which is another one I'm playing, set in the world of Yakuza. And it's a dark noir detective story, which is like my bag. It's fucking dark. This is like a serial killer that's killing Yakuza and taking their eyeballs, and it's insane.
Yeah.
And I'm playing this one before I play the proper Yakuza games, because the sequel to Judgment comes out in September. And I want to finish this, play that, and then play all the Yakuza games. Lastly, I've been streaming on Monster Mondays, A Plague Tale, Innocence. And that game is Harry. I love it. It's beautiful. The music, it's another soundtrack that I like a lot, but it's a heavy ass game. I can only play that game like in hour, maybe 2 hour increments. Just it's disgusting. Like there's rats coming out of horses. It's fucking, it's nasty.
You have like pigs that has like golf ball sized balls. Remember that one?
Oh my God, dude. These pigs have the biggest balls I've ever seen in my life. They're like the size of my head, and I got a big head.
You do.
So basically, it takes place during the bubonic plague. So you play as a teenage girl, and her brother is really young, and he's always sick. So the Inquisition comes in to try to kill the kid because they think that he's bringing all these rats and the bubonic plague. So you're essentially trying to get away from the Inquisition while also not getting eaten by the rats. But that game is tense as hell, man.
Isn't this game one of the ones that's free for PlayStation Plus this month, or is it just on sale?
Only for PlayStation 5.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I was so mad because when I found out that was going to be a free game, I was like, and I bought it like 2 weeks before. I was like, what the fuck, man? This is bullshit. And then I saw it was PS5, and I was like, that's right, Sony, you better not.
That's how I felt about, I mean, this month they had the WWE Battlegrounds, which I already owned, and then they released Horizon Zero Dawn for free, and I was like, fuck, I already bought those.
I mean, at least you have them as a collection.
I know, but it'd be nice to have them for free.
My God. Never can be happy. Never.
Never satisfied, never full.
But that's just your opinion, right? That's Mark, your opinion.
Right here. Great job. Love it.
That was a quote from one of my favorite villains in the Yu Yu Hakusho.
What was the quote?
He said, never satisfied, never full.
Oh, they keep eating nothing but piss till nothing is left.
Yeah.
That's the full quote.
Censored, right? Yeah,
that's Matt, what you been playing?
Oh, I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done? It sounded like you were done. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, because fucking Billy Bob started talking, running his fucking mouth.
That was two games ago.
No, because we started talking about Plague Tale, and he's like, wasn't that one of the free games that came out, blah, blah, blah? So anyway, I'm done. That's it. I don't have any other games.
It literally sounded like you were done. That's why it went to Brunch.
I knew it.
Maybe I should just stop. I'll just stop. Matt, go talk.
Okay, so I have a couple games that I've been playing, and then also a couple upcoming games I want to talk about and get your guys' opinions on. So first and foremost, Ghost of Tsushima.
The
platinum
RPG?
That shit. Very funny. Platinum that shit. Hell yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Fuck the last one was the most annoying trophy I had to get, was you have to like push someone off a cliff and they have to die when they fall off. That one was annoying as fuck, and I finally did it, and it was so satisfying.
Serious question, though. Do you remember the last game you've ever platinumed?
Oh, my God. It might have been one of those, like, WWE, like, thing that we had to do, like, online to finish we had to do some, like, online trophies for us to get the platinum.
So this is your second one, basically, right?
No, I think I have, like, four.
Four? Okay, cool.
Four or five. So, yeah, back that was you. Fun. You know, that was a fun game. I love that game. I'm going to play it one more. I'm going to play it at least one more time. I started Legends mode, which is in itself a whole new game, which I absolutely love. And then they have a new mode where you're pretty much playing almost the exact story again, except they've changed a couple things around. The enemies are a little bit harder and you don't have a lot of extra stuff that's available to you. So I want to start that, but I want to finish Legends mode first, and I'll get into that. I also played a little bit of Fall Guys, continuing with some Fall Guys. And Will, they have a nice couple of costumes coming out.
Oh, the Ratchet and Clank? I noticed.
Yeah. Are you going to get on that?
I'm re-downloading it. Or I already re-downloaded it.
Okay, cool. So I did that. And then I've also been playing. So they have Monster Hunter Stories, which is not Monster Hunter World. It's a different game. So I played the demo for that, which was kind of fun. Mark, I don't appreciate your face.
Wow, thanks. Wow, that's
what's wrong with making so many faces? Mark was making like a gross face
and like yawning.
How
and,
dare you? That's his normal face.
A normal face.
Okay.
Oh my God. Is so, this the Monster Hunter Stories 2 Tales of a Wind or something like that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I played the demo, which is really fun. And you get to a certain, I mean, obviously part of the game, but whatever you earn in terms of monies or equipment or armor or monsters that you hatch, you can bring over into the full game. So I did that. The full game got released on July 9th. So I've been playing through that, trying to find a lot of different monster dens, some rare monster dens, and complete my collection there. There's what I like about it is, you know, there's different types of eggs that you can get that you can hatch your monsters from. And there's different breeds and stuff. And there's also different variations within the breed. So you can have a specific type of monster, but then there's like three different colors of them. So you can not only get the specific one, but then you can get variants, which is cool. There's different battles and they go through as monsters are just roaming around, and again, turn-based, but you know, each monster has a specific type of attack that they do, whether it's the three options are power, technical, or speed. And obviously, you know, speed beats power, power beats technical beats speed. And you have to kind of figure out what type of moveset that they're going to do and then counter it. And you can buy different, you know, armor classes that, you know, offer different types of bonuses in terms of HP or resistance to certain elements or weak to certain elements and give you extra perks. You can do that with your armor. You can do that with weapons. You can do that with all kinds of like different items and stuff. So there is sort of a grind that you guys have to go through, but you can kind of collect these different things and kind of really customize your character and what monsters you use in terms of the playset. And what I like is that when you get rare monsters and stuff, you unlock these like gene slots. And once you get to a certain part again, you can actually trade genes from one monster to another to like create a different type of monster that you like to play through. So like you can create, just for the shits, a water type monster that knows nothing but fire attacks. Just if you feel like wanting to do that, you can change up different things as you see fit, which I think is great. The customability in this game is so much fun. I will say, I mean, the story is cool. I will say the most annoying part about this game is your little partner. He's a cat, much like Monster Hunter World. The voice acting for this character is so annoying. And he literally, in every sentence, there's some sort of cat pun, which just was cute for the first 5 minutes. And now it's just annoying as fuck.
Are you playing it dubbed or subbed?
Very funny. So this is originally a Japanese game that has been dubbed for America.
That's why it's annoying, because you're playing it dubbed.
It doesn't matter, because the voice acting for this character is just like, he has this really high squeaky voice, which I don't like. And just all, there's so many cat puns. It's just like unbearable. And I don't.
Is that a bear pun?
No, it wasn't a bear pun. It gets super annoying to a point where whenever he talks, I just skip it because I don't want to hear what he has to say.
Man, that sounds awful.
You done?
Right,
you
down
done?
That right down the litter.
Did you say awful?
Awful, yeah.
Awful. Yeah.
So, but the game in itself is a fun game. I can definitely see myself spending a lot of time playing this game. And as you level up and get better, you get better monsters. Like there's like elder dragons you can get and unlock. And once you beat the game in itself, then you can go to like high rank monster dens and get these really cool different types of monsters. So definitely something I'm going to be continually working on. And
are you able to stream this so I can check out your gameplay?
So it's on the Switch. So I got to figure out how I can stream from my Switch. I think I have to get like an actual thing, some extra equipment to do so. So
you need a capture card, but anyway,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to work on that, but I definitely want to stream this game because it's really fun. And I also want to talk about the Nintendo Live event from E3, a couple games that were announced. I'm kind of iffy on a couple of them. One of them that I'm really excited about is Mario Party Superstars. So that's coming out October 29th of this year. It's basically, they're taking some mini games, some maps from all the previous Mario Party games, and they're putting them all into this game. And they've updated a couple of the games in itself to make them look obviously more newer and with the times. But again, at the end of the day, it's still your typical Mario Party game. But I'm very excited about this. And even with the most current gen of Mario Party, you now have the online capability. So you can also play with other players online for games. So that's one of the ones that I was excited about. Another one of the ones they announced was WarioWare Get It Together. Comes out September 10th this year. That one I played you know, Warrior Wear smooth moves. It was okay. They, you know, it's like your typical like fast paced mini games where you have to do like a simple little thing where you like pull this down or poke this or do that. And, you know, I could see how that could be fun. That was a little stressful. And so this kind of seems like basically this the same sort of thing. You can play as different characters, but at the end of the day, it's just another one of these games. Another one of the games that they talked about, which is actually already released, is the Mario Golf Super Rush. Came out June 25th. I had some originally had some a little bit interest in it, and then just kind of looking at the gameplay, and there's not a lot of stuff you can really do in this game other than the story mode and just playing online and doing like battles and stuff. So what was originally kind of interesting to me kind of fell flat. I don't know if I'm actually going to get this game or not. I don't know. What do you guys, have you guys heard about any of these games, and what do you guys think?
I haven't heard about anything.
So the Super Mario All-Star game that's coming out, I think it's bullshit. They literally are going to charge $60 for this when they already came out with Super Mario Party 2 years ago, and all they had to do is just add more boards for that. So I refuse to spend another $60 on a Mario Party when Nintendo didn't want to support its previous Mario Party game. I'm not a fan of that idea. The only thing that I think that came out of that Nintendo Direct that I was excited about is probably the Advance Wars 1 and 2 remake. Other than that, I could care less.
Fair. So
but that's just my opinion.
So that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. And also, I know there has been a lot of talk and rumors and anticipation over a new Switch that's going to be coming out. They talk about, you know, being a Switch Pro. They announced earlier this year that there's going to be a Switch OLED that's going to come out October 22nd this year. Bigger screen, bigger console, but we'll have like, you know, 4K style graphics and stuff that you can plug up to the TV if you like. I'm interested. I may hop on that. We'll see where I'm at in October. I know Mark's definitely not going to get it.
Why was I tossed in there?
Because we all know you're never going to get a Switch.
It's fine. We already know Mark's not going to get the Switch. We've already covered this.
So, what about the other two? You guys interested in that as well?
No, I'm not getting this OLED. It's not a new Switch. There's no point in buying this. There's no point. There's not a better processing chip, and it's just literally for like a prettier, glossier screen. That's all it is.
And then another game I've been playing that I mentioned briefly before.
No, I'm not getting it either.
No, you're not. You didn't say anything. So anyway, so this is one of the games I've been playing on actually PC. It's Pokemon MMO. You can play with characters online or different people online. You can start at pretty much any of the different locations. You can do Kanto, Johto, whichever one you want to. And as you go through, you know, you're playing the story.
John was booing you. It sounded interesting.
You can go online. You can go through the regular story.
Just my opinion.
They have in this game, so the AI in this game is a little bit more challenging. They've changed it up a little bit where pretty much you can, even though you're in the Kanto region, you can find Pokemon from different gens and different areas in the Kanto region still. So like your typical like bug catcher, when you go through like Viridian Forest, won't have just this typical like Kakuna or Caterpie or anything like that. They'll change it up a little bit, which is definitely interesting. And you can go through, and if you see people walking around, you can just click on a random trainer and challenge them to a battle if you like. What's interesting is that there is for each...
They don't stop you. Like the moment they see you, you actually have to interact with them to battle them.
Yeah. So it's okay. Basically like, because otherwise there's like thousands of people walking around and you'd be bumping into them at every given point. But if you see them walking around, you can literally click on their person and you can like request a trade, request a battle, that sort of stuff. So, you know, that's pretty fun. I started on Kanto region just because that's where I wanted to start, but you can go through in the usual story. And once you get your fourth badge on this game, you can actually then just decide, you know what, I'm done with Kanto. I'm going to go to Johto now and kind of go through that and stuff. So definitely an interesting type of game to play if you guys are interested, but I'm playing on a PC, but you can play it on like your phone. You can play it on any other platform if you want to.
Is that it, man?
That's it.
You don't want to talk for 15 more minutes about this?
All right. No, I'm good. So thank you. I just want to talk about two games. One, Knockout City. It is free. Everybody likes free. It is free up to rank 25. It's crossplay. You can download this for Switch, Xbox, PlayStation, PC. you can play. It's probably the most smoothest game I've ever played with crossplay. It's basically dodgeball. Like, imagine dodgeball, but with a bunch of different types of dodgeballs, whether there's a bomb ball, a sniper ball, as a football. It's a lot of fun, and there's a bunch of different modes. So I would recommend it. I've been putting a lot of hours into it. And then the only other game I'd like to talk about is Dragon Age Inquisition. I've been streaming that a lot lately. One of the games on my backlog. It came out in 2014. And basically, it's the third of the Dragon Age series. I didn't play too much of the previous ones, except for a little bit of Dragon Age Origins. But within Inquisition, it's really cool because you can choose a class, have some different abilities. But what I like is that it mixes a lot of aspects of genres of games I've played before and like. So it's got a little bit of stuff of Skyrim related, you know, ideas. It's got all these melds, even like Mass Effect, like what John talked about earlier.
It's by BioWare.
So you can build relationships. You can get into romances with people.
How's your sexuality doing?
I don't know, but I've been fancying one Josephine, and let me tell you, Josephine, she's real nice, and she helps deal with the diplomatic side within the game. So I appreciate Josephine's service, but I really enjoy it. It's a fun Dragon Age game, and gameplay wise, it's pretty fun. You know, you have different abilities, and you can kind of specialize and branch off into these different things. So your play style has a lot of wiggle room. You don't have to feel like you're isolated to like, this is the way you have to play. There's a lot of free roam with customization, playing and making this build. So you can craft weapons, armor, create runes and modify it to, if you want to build more of like a fire mage build class and kind of just amplify their fire damage, or if you want to build it more towards like killing demons and just trying to kill as many demons as possible. But it's a really cool story. Basically, rifts opened up and you have this power, this anchor to close these rifts. So
check out Will's gameplay on his stream, because out of all of us, Will's the most that actually that does the streaming. So check him out. You know, when you have a moment on Twitch, he does really well. Quite entertaining.
Thank you. I do okay. But if you do want to see me, I'm Brown Bear Peter on Twitch, all one word. So yeah, lots of Dragon Age Inquisition and the occasional dodgeball match once or twice.
I think I started playing Inquisition a while ago.
It's a fun game. It's really fun.
I know I closed the first rift, and then you like, after you do that, you go into another area and it really opens up for the free moment. But that's when I stopped. I don't know why I stopped.
Yeah, you got distracted.
But to be fair, like, there's a lot going on in that game. So it's almost overwhelming that, you know, most games have that little tutorial. It's one thing to go from tutorial to like a slightly bigger area. But when you go from, hey, here's this condensed area with the story. Hey, here's the sandbox. And you're like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do first? Like, and I'm more of Mark's, like, I like doing other side quests. I ignore the main mission and I want to level myself up so I don't get immediately fucking killed by the first big boss of the game.
That's where I'm at right now. I can't compete with these guys on the main story of Dragon Crown. I'm just doing side quests to level up. I agree with you.
I'm 20 hours into Mass Effect 3. All side missions, essentially. All side missions. I've done two of the main story missions.
You know what? You heard it here, folks. Main mission, overrated.
Yeah, always fuck that shit. Side missions.
Maybe for last.
Yeah, dude. Right. Don't do what you're told. Fuck that.
That's right.
Your own person.
Make your own choices. Make your own opinions. You know?
Respect other people's opinions.
The amount of callbacks today is great. But yeah, so everybody, thank you. It's great seeing you lovely people. So until next time, which I'll just say this again, our lives have been very busy in the past 4 months, obviously. So hopefully we'll maybe get another episode or two. We'll see. Hopefully by the end of the year. But it's not going to be the same regularly scheduled programming. So just want to say that now. And I'll post in the Facebook group as well as Twitter, just so this way everybody listens. But once again, thank you guys for listening. We hope you have a great day. So everybody say bye.
Bye-bye.
Toodles.
Yes, all of the above. Bye.